Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Shannon. Thank you for your welcome. And just before you're seated and while we're in an honouring mood, may I just do something? It's a great privilege to be here in Nations Church. My first time preaching in Myeree today, and I do count it a privilege. As Pastor Shannon said, I'm from Planet Shakers. And Pastor Russell and Sam send their greetings. We're excited about what you guys are doing here. But I really would like to honour your senior pastors, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee. What great pastors you have, great vision. And what God's doing in this house is monumental. It's nation-shaking. It's shifting things in this generation. I really mean that. And, you know, God receives all the glory, but God uses people. And so, I really, just one more time, would you honour your senior pastors? We honour you. We're thankful for you. You can take your seats. I really wrestle with what to share this evening. But I really want to bring a simple word tonight, and that is simply this: there is more. That's three words, not a word. There you go. There is more. Everybody say there's more. Say it again like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. There's more. I just believe there's more. There's always more. And I want to encourage you to press in, lean forward, to believe for, dream again for the more that God has. I want to lean into this theme a little bit. Maybe we might call it a Pentecostal theology of prosperity. I don't know. Maybe I don't have that higher hope. I just want to share some scripture with you and encourage you. There's more, but consider this. God is personal. God's not just an it. God's not just a force. God is a person, which means God is knowable. As a matter of fact, God has gone to great lengths so that he might be known by each one of us. We serve a God of encounter, a God of revelation. And I want to invite you to expect tonight anything can happen in church. Already today, we've seen, as I'm sure we do every week, but we've seen great miracles occurring, miracles of healing occurring right across the Sunday. And I just want to encourage you, anything can happen in church. We serve a God of encounter. We serve a God who can be known and who wants to be known. But consider this also. God is personal. God is infinite, which means God is infinitely personal. It means God is infinitely knowable, which means think of the smartest person you know. Actually, that's probably the wrong person. Think of the most godly person that you know. The person who you would consider to be closest to God. And that person would tell you, if you ask them, I feel like I know very little of God. I desire to know him more, but I don't yet know him as I wish to know him. Why? Because there's always more. Did you realize that you will... I remember the first time I was told this and I was gripped by this reality, that God is infinitely knowable. Do you realize that you will begin in eternity where you finish in time in your pursuit of knowing God? You can devote your whole life to knowing him, and you will know him more and more and more and more. And when you start eternity, you'll just keep on getting to know him more and more and more, which means you'll continue to draw closer and closer and closer, which means you'll continue to experience greater intimacy, greater and greater and greater and greater. There's always more in God. Open your Bible with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I want to read just a simple word, just a simple passage here. Deuteronomy 10, I'm reading from verse 12, and I'm using the NIV. There's no particular reason. It's just the one I happen to bring. And it says this: And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. Okay, don't panic. I know that sounded a little bit medical, but circumcise your hearts means, as Paul will tell us in the New Covenant, put off the flesh. Do you know sometimes the heart can get a little bit calcified, the heart can get a little bit hard. Sometimes we can, things can happen in life and things can attach themselves to our heart. And it makes it difficult to hear from God. It makes it harder to respond to God. And this is just again, apologies for the medical terminology, but it's literally cut around your heart, cut out all that stuff that's not of God, circumcise your hearts. Don't be stiff-necked. That means be easy for God to turn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, mighty and awesome, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. He accepts no bribes. Man, we serve a great God. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him. Take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down to Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the sky. This is Moses on the border of the promised land, exhorting the people of Israel. They had been in slavery, and he's just really inviting them. Would you expand your thinking? Actually, you can keep playing if you wouldn't mind. It's going to be like just a devotional message, so you guys can go. Thank you, but you can just keep playing. I don't mean anything by that, except it's a keyboard moment. That's all I felt. My word, this is going great. But Moses exhorts the people and he says, man, we serve a great God. Have a look. If you want to encounter God, sometimes all we need to do is just look back and remember the great things that God has done. I don't know, maybe if you're in this place today and you've not met him, well, tonight's your night, and you look back and you think, well, when I look back, it's horrible. Don't worry, you can look forward to the great things God's going to do. If you don't know him, you can know him tonight. Maybe this works better if you're an older person. I don't know if you've ever done this, but every once in a while, God reminds me of the great things that he's done for me in the past. You know, I was a kid that loved God. I had big dreams. I thought they were big dreams. I stopped trying to plan for the future a long time ago because I realized that God's plans were always better than my own. I thought that I wanted to serve God with my life, but I never realized the magnitude of what God had for me and how fulfilling that would be, how fruitful he would make it. I just didn't know the more, because there's more than what I hoped for. I remember, this is a bit of a personal memory, and you can have a laugh at my expense if you want, but I was a young man like any other young man in this place. And Pastor Shannon asked before, is anybody married? Anybody want to be married? I wanted desperately to be married for so many years of my life. Once I figured out what it was, I wanted desperately to be married. And I wanted to be married, have a family, start life, get going. And so the young men will understand what I'm talking about. Most of you, the young ladies, you just have to shut your ears. Boys don't think this way at all, but I was just like laser-like focused. I'm like, who is it, God? Girls get a little bit nervous when you treat them that way. Trust me, they're your sisters. Look after them, you know. But I'm like, who have you got me to? And I was very, very motivated. I remember I prayed, I fasted. I remember the time when God said to me, "You're the problem." Because I used to take a day a week and I would fast and I would pray. I was very spiritual and also very proud. I would pray, God, would you bless my wife today? I don't know her. You haven't shown me. I was trying to manipulate the Lord, right? I was like, you haven't shown me. I don't know her yet, or maybe I don't know her, maybe I do. You could show me anytime you want. You could speak to me, but I'm just praying for her. Pray that she'd have a good day. Lord, would you make her ready to meet me one day and make it fast? And some of you got there way quicker than I did, I can tell you. But I remember the time when the Holy Spirit pulled me up in my prayers and said, what if you're the holdup? And I went, oh, I never thought I was the holdup. Maybe I'm the holdup. And the Holy Spirit said, well, come on, why don't you pray a proper prayer? And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. Would you make me ready to meet her one day? Would you prepare my heart and make me the sort of man that you want for the daughter that you've chosen for me to walk with? And I began to pray that way. But I remember, anyway, I get to my wedding day, right? I get to my wedding day. The wedding's done and it's, you know, the bit in between, and we're going from the dinner, and I won't say more, but I had this moment with the Lord and I said to him, you better give me a bigger vision for my life, because it hit me like how much spiritual bandwidth I'd taken up over the previous decade praying and crying and fasting and trying to figure out God, trying to manipulate God, and going on this emotional roller coaster, which I spiritualized through prayer, trying to figure out who I was supposed to marry. And I said to God, every prayer that I prayed in the last 10 years has been answered today. You got to give me a bigger vision for my life. How many are thankful that there's always more in God? I don't know. Do you ever feel, I have this kind of relationship with the Lord. Sometimes it's almost like I can hear him laughing. And yeah, and God does invite us to laugh with him, but he also does laugh at us, and he's allowed to laugh at us. And he's not trying to be unkind, but it was like I felt the laughter of heaven that day as I realized what he'd known all along. Stop praying small prayers. You're going to get married. Don't panic. God will provide for you. He'll show you at just the right time. But there's more. There's so much more than ever you could imagine. Abraham. And this is a lovely passage, because Moses is reminding the people of God's, the fulfillment of God's promises. Abraham felt like he had a promise from God. And as we turn there, you can go to Genesis 15. I was going to tell you, I remember the time when I was standing at one of our Planet Shakers conferences. I was just standing in the auditorium, and I had one of those moments where the Holy Spirit began to remind me. And he was showing me places in the auditorium where, because we had the conference in the same, I think you guys do that too, right? We had the conference in the same place year after year after year. And he would show me, do you remember when you were over there? And I went, oh, I remember what you spoke to me there. I remember what happened when I was over there. The very first time I walked into a Planet Shakers conference, and it was all lights and sounds, and there was this boom camera going down, and I was so overstimulated, I didn't know what hit me. And I'm like, oh God, please help me not to have permanent hearing damage. And I was praying weird prayers. But I remember God spoke to me, and it's like I woke up about half an hour into the meeting. It was really what I believe 1 Corinthians calls a gift of faith. And I began to say aloud, and then I began to say it louder, and nobody cared because nobody knew, because the music was so darn loud. And I began to say, you can do anything. You can do anything. You can do anything. The Holy Spirit showed me. Do you remember over there when I deposited that faith in your life? Do you remember when you were sitting up there in the parents section and I spoke to you about your kids, and I began to say, Lord, and I prayed that prayer over all of them, and you've begun to, and all of the great things you've done since. It's more than ever I imagined. God's so much better. Serving him, giving him your life, is so much better than you could ever imagine. There's always more. Show me, do you remember over there? Do you remember over there when you were hiding behind the screen because you didn't have the energy to go into yet another meeting, and I spoke to you anyway behind there? I said, yes, I do. And I was having a giggle. It was, Abraham had a promise. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Genesis 15:1. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? It's funny. Like, I'm not the only one who prays manipulative prayers. Abraham's being a little bit petulant there. He's like, yeah, great. Love your presence, love your blessings, but my heir is going to be Eliezer of Damascus. You do realize that. Anyway, Abram said, you didn't give me any children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't say that, I just added. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then, can I just mess with the script a little bit? I know, like, the deal is, we all know how this works, right? I'm going to talk for a bit, whatever I say, then we're going to stand up, we're going to worship for a bit, God's going to move. But God's moving now. So can we do the stand up and God's going to move bit now? All right, okay, let's do that bit. Stand with me. And then I'm going to keep preaching. Is that okay? Because I've got more to say. There's always more. But let's just do this bit. Because I want you to experience this with Abraham. I love this. It says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And gives him this promise. He drops this vision in his heart. And Abram has this wow moment. I haven't forgotten. I know you're standing, like, we're going to have that moment. But last year in September, I took some time off with my wife, just a little micro vacation. We did 4 days down in Tassie, which was lovely. But one of the coolest things that we did was we're in the middle of nowhere. I think most of Tasmania's in the middle of nowhere, to be honest. But we were literally in the middle of nowhere. Zero light pollution, clear sky. You can tell where I'm going with this. Have you ever had that experience? And you look up at the sky, it's magnificent. It's breathtaking. And you can see so much that you can see, even though it's a cloudless sky, you can see the clouds behind the constellations. And you realize what we now know is that the clouds behind the constellations are themselves constellations of thousands, millions, who knows how many stars. Why? Because from that time to this, not a soul has been able to count the stars. Anyway, God has that experience for Abraham and he begins to speak to him. I was in a meeting very much like this one at Planet Shakers a little while ago. And the person speaking, I think it was our senior pastor, did this exercise. And I want to do it with you. I want to bless you with this experience. But before we do you realize what it said? It said he took him outside, which means God encountered Abram in the tent. He couldn't see the stars in the tent. He could have a sook in the tent. He could try to twist God's arm, be petulant, and try to manipulate the Almighty in the tent, but God had to take him outside to show him the stars. And it's all too often there's something between you and the vision that God has for you. And it might be disappointment. It might be the distraction of the things that you're seeking for and going after in the moment. It might be any number of things, past experiences. I believed and it didn't work. I don't know. And we can get inside this tent of kind of limitation. And here's what I want. I believe God wants us to do tonight. Shut your eyes and imagine you're in a tent. I'm going to tell you twice to look up. But let's just be honest before the Lord tonight and look up at the tent. Because I reckon you know what it is. I think we all know what it is for us. Look up at the tent. But God's speaking. And I believe what God's saying to each one of us is, all right, step outside. You got to come outside for me to show you just a glimpse of what I have for you. So I want you to do this. We're all in our seats. We're all in rows. Keep your eyes closed. Keep looking up at the tent. But if you can, take a little step forward, But in your mind, take a step forward, and I want you to just step outside and now look up at the stars. Just imagine, look at the starry sky. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak? Would you begin to breathe vision again as we deal with these tents? Can you see it? Can you see the clouds behind the constellations? God's speaking to some of you young people about your wives and your family, your wife, speaking to several of you about several women that are individually, oh my goodness. God is speaking to you about marriage, about family, about children. Some of you God's speaking to in this moment about business. Some of you God's speaking to about influence, leadership. I don't know what it is, but can you see it? Give me a wave if you can see it. I reckon there's many, many of you that are having an encounter with God tonight. That's okay. If you can't see it, just keep on praying. Holy Spirit, would you show me? Look up at the stars. Count them. Can you count them? God says to Abram, count the stars if you can count them. Can you count them? Wow. All right. I think I want to move on. But now we're in the bit at the end. Would you open your eyes and look up again? You can take your seats. Many of you, and God doesn't have to speak to you that way. I'm not trying to manipulate the situation, but I know that many of you you began to see vision again as you looked up. God says to Abram, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now, here's what I want to show you. Come back to Deuteronomy 10 with me, where we started. And we're going to read verse 22 again. Your ancestors who went down, so this is Moses, and he's on the border of the promised land several hundred years after Abraham's encounter. Abraham did have a son, Ishmael. That happened. And then Isaac. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Ishmael became a nation. And Esau, you know, God blessed, God's blessing was on him, but God's special blessing was on Jacob. Has 12 sons and one daughter. I don't know why we never talk about her, but lots of descendants. And then they have lots of descendants, and they become this great and numerous people. They're enslaved for 400 years, and then God brings them out. But there's always more in God, isn't there? And Moses stands on the shore of the Jordan River, the border of the promised land. They're looking over into the promised land and reminds them of God's promise and says, hey, look what God has done. 70 people went down to Egypt, and God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Are you seeing this? That promise that God made to Abram as he was then, in Genesis 15, stood fulfilled only 700 years later. Only several hundred years later. Are you getting this? Some of you are not getting this. There are more stars. We've got telescopes now. Like, there are more stars than Abraham could ever see. He couldn't count the stars that he could see, but now we know that there are stars behind the stars that he could see that he couldn't see. It's the same with prophetic fulfillment, by the way, because we now know in the New Covenant that the New Testament church, all of the nations that have come in are the fulfillment of the promise that God... What am I trying to say? When Moses says this to the children of Israel... Pick your Bible commentary. There's either 600,000 people that he's talking to, or 3 million people that he's talking to, or somewhere in that range. But now, the children of Abraham by faith, and he looks out at this sea of people and says, I can't count them. Must be fulfilled. And it is fulfilled. But in the hundreds, in the thousands of years since, it's been fulfilled to a greater and greater and greater and greater and greater level. Now can you begin to see it? There's always more in God. Moses looks back and says, what a faithful God we serve. He's amazing. We turn from 70 into 600,000 and then into 3 million. And that was just a couple of Bible commentaries, you know. But I don't know what the actual number is. But we turned into this countless sum. How good is God? And they have this moment as they look back and they look at God met us here and God did this and God did this miracle and God busted us out of Egypt and all the plagues and showed off and humbled all the gods of Egypt and God's made us a people and He's made us a nation. What great promises here. But guess what? There's more and more and more. They're literally about to step into the promised land. There's going to be more and more and more and more for them. This church, I don't know, I probably should have asked over lunch, but I love the name Nations Church. It's such a prophetic statement. But Psalm 2 verse 4 says this, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Can I kind of make this practical now? Is that okay? Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance. And when we read that in the Psalm, I'm assuming it's one of Israel's kings asking for victory over the surrounding nations, like the nations that they could see. But those nations are now so far in the rear vision mirror of history that we don't even know what most of them were anymore. What's my point? God did fulfill His promise to that king, absolutely. And under Solomon, they had dominion over all of the nations around them that they could see and the ones beyond the nations that they could see that they couldn't see. They had a time of peace and prosperity. They collected tribute from everybody and they considered that they'd made it. They had this time of peace and prosperity and they're like, look, how good is God? God's fulfilled His promise to give us the nations. But there were nations then, presently existing back then, that they never got to see, nations on the other side of the world. And now we pray and we say, ask of me. God says, and I will make the nations your inheritance. I reckon we know more nations now than they do then. We realize that the world is bigger now than they realized then. And God is still fulfilling His promise. He fulfills it in the short term after it's spoken. But then He continues to fulfill and to fulfill and to fulfill and to fulfill. When God spoke to me as a teenager and said, I'm going to bless your life, I didn't know what that meant. I was looking to near-term blessing. And I would say things to the Lord like, if you let me get married, I reckon that that would be a blessing. I begin to have those petulant little prayers and say, I still don't even have a girlfriend. Sorry, I said you can laugh at my expense. It's okay, we can laugh at church tonight. And I'd have these moments with the Lord. I'm like, it doesn't feel like blessing. But it didn't take long. And I look back and I said, oh God, you blessed my life so much. But then I got a little bit further down the track and I'm like, oh, I never saw that. You blessed my life so much. A little bit further, I'm like, oh my word, this just blows my mind. I never knew that. I never knew that. Can I just testify a little bit? My first son's getting married. I'm entering the next season. I'm literally the same age, just a few months younger as your senior pastor. I just turned 50. And I'm coming into the, well, I mean, there's no polite way to say this, like the latter part of our lives, aren't we? I mean, you know, there's, I said to my wife the other day, do you remember when you were a kid, like the journey home is always quicker than the journey there? Like we're past halfway now. But this is the season for us of multiplication. And I really felt this for you guys. Is this okay? But if you look back, you only have to look back 20 years and this church is being planted. And all of the things that you hoped and dreamed, all of the prophetic words that you received and felt, yes, Lord, we're coming into agreement with that. Great faith would arise and you say, yes, we're coming into agreement with that. And then there was an obstacle. I don't know what they were because we didn't get into the nitty-gritty of the story, but then there was an obstacle. And you'd pray and call the church to pray and then we'd break through that obstacle and then there'd be another obstacle and a bigger obstacle. But you learned a pattern of faith. You learned a pattern of overcoming. And as you look back, wow, God's fulfilled more and more and more. I guarantee that this is greater than you ever thought, at least in some of those moments. But in recent times, you've begun to dream and hope for the future and think, wow, this is what God's been able to do in 20 years. You probably get to see at least the next 20, maybe even, you know, that's what the Bible promises us, but we all hope for more these days, you know, in these modern times. I don't know. I said to the Lord the other day, I'm shooting for 95. It's me at 50 trying to twist the Lord's arm. You know, He knows the number of our days. I don't know the number of my days. But it's just me trying to encourage myself. I'm only just after halfway. I don't know. But maybe you get to see another 20 years of this church. I don't know what happens when you're 70. Maybe you've handed it on. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. But can you imagine? Look at all of the quality leadership that's been raised up and the nations that have already been reached as you've just taken God at His word. We are going to ask You, Lord, and we're going to believe that You're going to make the nations our inheritance. And nations have come to the city of Perth that we didn't even know would come to the city of Perth. People have come here to study in university. People have been placed here through jobs and industry and other things. And the nations are coming. But you know what? That's just the beginning. You literally, and I felt to say this prophetically. I hope this is okay. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Because we're in the season of our lives, and I believe we're in the season of the church in Australia where we've reached the multiplication season. And what God's been doing, we've been building incrementally as a bit more and a bit more, and we go, oh wow, it's more blessing. Let's believe God for a bit more. Let's believe God for a bit more. But I'm telling you, we're believing God for, I don't even know. Like I say, I've stopped planning because God keeps blowing my mind. Can I give you another one? Is this all right? I just want to overflow a little bit because I feel like this is a prophetic moment. It's a prophetic opportunity. And I want to lean into this. But Acts 1:8, and we all know this verse so well, says, and you shall receive, but I can't even find it. We do know it well. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, throughout all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was fulfilled in Acts because they thought the uttermost parts of the earth was Rome. The gospel gets from Jerusalem to Rome in the first generation of the church. But guess what? There was more. There was more. And Acts 2 tells us this. If I can get there, my word. This is why we all do it on mobile phones these days. Acts 2 tells us this, and it says that there were staying, verse 5, in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Are you ready to hear the nations? This is going to take all night, but it's not going to take all night because there's a list here. I'll tell you the nations. Are you ready? How is it that each of us hears in our native language? There's Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontusians, Asians. Sorry, Asians, but I'm pretty sure this doesn't refer to Asia because I don't think the church had high enough hopes. But you know what? It didn't take long for the gospel to get all the way to India. By the way, that happened in the early times. But Asians, Phrygians. I wouldn't like to be a Phrygian. Pamphylians, Egyptians, Libyans, Cyrenians, Romans, Cretans, that's the other one I wouldn't really like to be, and Arabs. That's the list. They were completely impressed with a list of, I should have counted, but not that many nations. They're like, oh, people are here from everywhere. I guarantee there are more nations represented in this meeting right now. Why? Because there's always more in God. More and more and more and more and more and more. I just want to keep saying this till some of us start to get it in our spirit. There is more in God for you. There's more. Some of you are studying university right now. And if I were to ask you why you're studying in university, you'd say, oh, because my parents told me to. Okay, I'm not talking to you. And I am talking to you. This is for you, but you need a more basic revelation. But some of you would say, I'm studying in university because I want to get a really good job. And I'd say, yeah, okay. Well, why? I don't know. So I can make lots of money. Good. Have you started thinking in millions yet? Like, don't just think hundreds of thousands. Start to think in millions. Can I challenge some of us? We need to get a vision for millions. Getting a vision for millions is not great faith, by the way. It's just understanding economics. Why? Because I'm not talking about a 2-year vision or a 5-year vision. I'm talking about a 100-year vision. Like the rest of your life. Get a vision for millions. Okay, what are you going to do with the lots of money? What are you going to do? Because you get to decide with the little bit of money you have from working at McDonald's and Nando's, you get to decide what sort of person you're going to be. What do you do with the little bit of money? Because that's the same person you're going to be when you've got lots and lots and lots of money. Because believe me, God's favor is on you. He's going to give you more and more and more and more. But what do you want the more money for? What is it that you want to do? Can you learn from my mistakes? Stop praying little prayers and start praying proper prayers. I had this moment with the Lord once where I was a little bit hungry. And I get in the flesh when I get hungry. I'm sorry, I just do. I'm one of those people. And it's amazing how many times, and I'm quite stupid too, which is very humbling because everywhere I go, I'm introduced as like I'm very smart. And I don't get the basic things sometimes. Like I'll be having this like existential crisis with the Holy Spirit and I feel the Holy Spirit say, "Have you eaten?" And I'll be like, and I'll giggle. I'll be like, "Oh, wow, I missed that again. No, I haven't eaten." Can we resume this conversation when I have eaten? Because I feel like I've been a little bit in the flesh. And he'll be like, "Yes, you have." Sorry, Lord. Yeah, I need to get back in the spirit. I'll go eat something. I don't know, but I had this hungry moment one time. And I was just feeling a little bit low and a little bit flat. But guess what? Like God showed up. It was a moment. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, it was like the heavens open. It was one of those places. I remember where I was walking. I had this encounter with God. It's honestly, if I were to look back and reminisce, it's one of those things that I remember, one of those moments that I remember. And I fluffed it. God, I felt God say to me, "Ask me, son, whatever you want. Ask me, what do you want? Whatever you want." It's like a Solomon moment. So you would imagine, I would have said, "I know the right answer, Lord. Give me wisdom. I need wisdom, like Solomon asked for wisdom." I didn't. Do you know what I said? You can have a laugh at my expense, but I want to make this point loud and clear. I said, "Well, I'd like a milkshake." I did. I get really stupid when I get hungry. I don't know why it is. And as soon as the words were out my mouth, and they came out my mouth, I was alone. There was nobody around me. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord. He says, "Ask me for anything. What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I'd like a milkshake." I did. Don't pray little prayers. What a dumb prayer to pray. And as soon as it was out my mouth, I went, "Wow. I must be hungry." And I said to the Lord, "I'm so sorry. I'll probably just go and buy a milkshake. But could you ask me that again? Could you give me like one more chance? Give me a do-over with that question." Hear heavens giggle, I don't know. And I, "Son, what do you want? What do you want?" And I fluffed it again. I said, "Well, I was coming out of the depths of my flesh through some fleshly-ish desires. I said, I'd love to take my family on a holiday." Can you believe that? God is asking me, "What do you want?" And I start asking for milkshakes and holidays. I said, "I'd like to take my family on a holiday." We got 5 kids. As well as a big family. You know, holidays are hard. And I said, "I'd like somewhere you actually fly to." God is so kind. He said, "Yes, you can do that. But I'm asking you a question. What do you want?" And then I begin to think, what do I want? I said, "Lord, I want to see a generation arise that knows God, that knows the Word, that's hungry for a move of God, that's gotten a hold of the Holy Spirit." And I feel the Holy Spirit say, "Yeah, now you're asking the right kind of prayers. That's the desire that I put within you."
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.